Hi, sweets. Welcome back. Today, I am diving into my journey of embracing my kinks. I'm excited because, as you know, I have many. I am going to talk about impact play, of course. I'm going to talk about masturbation. I'm going to talk about power play. Let's dive into it. Welcome to Sweet Release Podcast with me, Barbie Jean. Okay, guys, so to start things off, I'm going to start with masturbation. I have always loved masturbating. I think I always encourage you guys to masturbate. I've always talked about how self-care is so crucial. Obviously, it's a mood booster. It's stimulates creativity. It, you know, it's a connection experience for you with your body. It alleviates stress. It can alleviate pain. There's so many benefits to it. But ultimately, it's also this journey of like self-discovery, which I love. And I feel like it's so important for us to discover our sexuality, to discover our bodies. And that's why masturbation, though, I think was the beginning of me exploring my kinks. And masturbation can be considered a kink. I know a lot of people are like, oh my God, everything is a kink. But it's true. Like if it's something that you're like super into, and it's something that really, you know, turns you on, then yeah, it could be a kink for you. So I just wanted to start with sharing, you know, when I was young, I must have been at least 9 because it was after we had this addition on our house, but it was around that age, maybe a year or two older, but I just remember touching myself. I like feel like I found my way down my pants for the first time. Like there were definitely these experiences when I was like really young where I have these vague memories of like being naked and sitting on something and being like, that kind of feels good. Those were like very young memories. But the first memory I have of like actually like touching myself was when I was this young girl and I had my own room and I was in bed and I remember like just kind of like going down underneath my pajama pants. And I didn't orgasm that night, but I just couldn't stop touching myself. I feel like I was like rolling over. I was just like, just figuring it out. Like I was just going to town and I just couldn't stop. And I remember the next day going to school and I just feel like I was like, holy shit. Like I didn't even sleep. Like I literally stayed up all night touching myself. And I feel like that adrenaline and that, like, I don't know, the endorphins that were being released, even though I wasn't actually ejaculating or climaxing, it was still this like edging almost, or this still like build up and this like just awesome sensory play and, you know, this pleasure zone. So it was incredible. And I feel like that was just the beginning of me realizing like, oh, okay, I like touching myself. This is awesome. And I know we all experience that, but I think I kind of tapped into it a little bit more the older I got. So, you know, in high school, I always masturbated before bed. Like that was just like my go-to time. Like I feel like it was comfortable because I started touching myself in bed. Like that was just my way to like relax. And I was finally able to like allow myself to like fall asleep. But I still do remember it happening like often and for long periods, not just like a quick one. Then in college, my time to masturbate was in the shower because I lived in a dorm. I lived in a sorority house. There were always people around, always women and girls around me. And so I always masturbated in the shower. That was my time for myself. And it was amazing. And that was just, yeah, my daily routine, not always daily, but like often it was like, okay, let me rub one out. So I got pretty good at masturbating in the shower, or masturbating standing up specifically, which was awesome. But then, you know, my journey shifted when I started like dating people or even just exploring people in college and after college. I was like, I want to watch you masturbate. So then I started having these like mutual masturbation moments with lovers. And I was like, dude, this is fucking hot. Like, I love this. And then it was like, I don't know. So then it was like the mutual masturbation thing. Then even when I moved to LA, I talked about recently how I went on to Seeking Arrangements. And that was a time where I also like masturbated on the phone with people and they like paid me. And I would just masturbate on the phone, or And they would like listen to me, or that was something that I even did with lovers, long distance lovers, where we would just like masturbate on the phone together. And so good. So that's just my masturbation experience, self-discovery and pleasure. And it's just definitely a kink of mine. And it's something that I've always loved. And it's something that I've always leaned into to alleviate stress and anxiety, which is something I've struggled with. So, and then more recently, you know, I really got into masturbating on my way to work. Like that was my go-to time to do it. I was like, I'm about to go and like have a busy, crazy night at work. Let me just do this real quick on my way to work. And it's just like, so good. So yeah, let's now, you know, talk about impact play. So that's another kink that I know I've talked about a lot. Obviously we have some floggers and some whips and chains back behind me here today. But my impact play kink really started, I feel like it started with this chef that I was sleeping with in New Zealand. So as most of you know, if you've been, you know, following me and following my channel and podcast for a while, I lived in New Zealand for a year. And so in New Zealand, I was fucking this head chef of this restaurant bar that I like worked at. We hooked up often and he like got into really like, I was like, he was just rough. It was rough sex. And I was like, damn, this is nice. So I remember asking him to like choke me. I remember he was the first like slap on the face that I received. And I was like, holy shit, this is amazing. And you know, for me, these first, you know, masturbating and impact plays, you know, for me, it's often like sensory. There's been some power dynamics intermixed and we're going to get to power play next. But for me, the slapping and the impact play that I have always loved has always been like the sensory and like just like igniting my senses, igniting those like that spark of adrenaline again, or just this like this rough sensation that feels really good. And it's really fun to play with that. So that was the first time where I was like, okay, I think I like to be slapped. But I was also like, okay, is this something that I want to experience like in a power dynamic? So then when I moved to LA, I started exploring like FetLife. You know, I got a FetLife account and I started meeting these doms, and I had a bad experience with a slap where I met with this dom. We grabbed lunch and then he came back to my place, and in the heat of like this moment, he just like slaps me abruptly across the face, super rough and super hard. And it just caught me so by surprise. Like it didn't feel right. And so that's when I started realizing like, okay, wait a minute. And I kicked him out because I was just like emotional. It like gave me this like kind of emotional release and I wasn't expecting it. You know, he didn't ask my permission first. So that was like, you know, just to remind you that sometimes when you're exploring these more sensitive and intimate experiences of even just power dynamics, or, you know, it's just, yeah, it's physical slap that's a big deal. And you should always ask permission. And so it's just a good reminder, you know, and it was a learning experience for me that I was like, okay, I want to explore these things, but I want to feel comfortable and I want to feel like consent is always there and I want to feel respected in the process. And so then I learned that I really had to like voice my boundaries and voice these things that I knew that, you know, like just ask me before you do something like that, or have those conversations ahead of time. And so I started learning, but yeah, so that was like not the best experience of slapping. But then I also had a really good experience with slapping when I was also living in Pasadena when I first moved to LA. And it was a drunken night out. And I just remember asking him to just slap me. Like I just wanted the roughness. And we had sex for hours. I remember not making it home till like 5 or 6 a.m. that night. And my face was like bruised the next day. I was like, oh my God, maybe I did it a little too far. I'm not a huge fan of marks being left on me, especially my face. But I was exploring. I was like, this is fun. Like this feels so good. And spanking. Spanking is another form of impact play that's really easy to explore because along with slapping, like you just use your body. And so, yeah, I was starting to like lean into that with lovers and be like, I want you to spank me. And that was really fun. And then really once I started going to play parties a lot and really exploring these group play settings, that's when I really started getting into floggers and whips and chains and all of that. And that's when I started experiencing these really incredible impact play sessions with like doms or with dominatrixes at parties where they had their floggers and they would do like a full session on me. And that was like, that was when I was like, okay, this is something that I love. This is something that I'm super into. Impact play. Yes. Oh, so good. You know, I also dated this guy that was really into degrading. And that's also when I learned like more boundaries. But he always wanted to whip me with this crop. And it was always when we had this time apart. So it was when I was going to like some sex parties or just hooking up with some playful, casual flings. And then we'd reconnect. He'd come to visit me or I'd go down to San Diego to see him. And we'd reconnect after time apart. And he'd be like, I want to punish you for being a naughty girl. And I was like, well, wait a minute. I'm a slut and I love it. Like, I don't want to be punished. Like, you should be welcoming and worshiping me. But I didn't know that that was my vibe at the time. And this was something that he was really into, as this kind of being a sadist. And so I was like, okay, I'll do it for you. So I wasn't very aware at that time of my life. I wasn't very present in my body and in my emotions. And I didn't know how to express how I felt. That wasn't something that I learned growing up. Like, we never really talked about how we were feeling. And so It was kind of just new for me. And so that was another experience where I was leaning into this impact play and I was like, okay, I know I like floggers. I know I like spanking. Like, why not try this crop thing? But then there were all these other variables involved where it was like, oh, like he's saying names, he's degrading me, you know, humiliating. It's like, it's a different level of impact play. And so that's when I was like, okay, take a step back. So it's good to listen to your intuition always. And in those moments and sessions with him, I never felt really good afterwards. It was always like, did I like that? Do I even like this guy? Like, this is just weird. Fortunately, I did learn these boundaries about myself and it was a learning experience and all encompassing my journey of like this self-discovery. But it's just, I want to remind you, next to, you know, this journey of embracing my kinks and all of that, there's going to be moments in your life where you in hindsight realize like, okay, that wasn't the best. And maybe it's a learning experience, or maybe you need to work on communicating better. That was a thing that I really learned too, is how to communicate and how to express how I'm feeling and what my boundaries are and what I like. Pushing the edges and pushing the boundaries is fun when you're feeling good and in this safe container to do so, but it also can be not fun. So just a little reminder for you. But yeah, so again, I've always been a fan of impact play. And now, you know, for my 30th birthday a few years ago, I had my partner, he gave me 30 orgasms for my 30th. For my 31st, he flogged me 31 times. And that was like really great. So I'm always incorporating impact play in my life now. And it's always a great time. So now I want to talk about power play. I don't know. The first time I experienced power play, and maybe this is more bondage, which I'm going to get into next, but the first time, I'm still going to say it because it felt very like I felt submissive in that moment, was this college guy that I was hooking up with, and he handcuffed me to his headboard. And I was like, oh my God. And he like walked downstairs for a minute and like made me wait for it. And I was like, oh boy. So that was a turn on. So I feel like that was like the first time where I was like, okay, yeah, I'm into being submissive. I'm into like giving up the control. And I really like that. And so then, you know, I started exploring, like I talked about, is seeking arrangements. And I remember this guy paid me to sit in all these submissive positions. And I would like sit on my knees, or I don't really know the actual submissive positions. I can't remember, but I remember him like directing me into these positions. And I was like, okay, that kind of was like kind of boring, but whatever, I got paid. And then again, I started really dating people that were expressing their dominant nature and I was expressing my submissive side. And so this one guy, he was a bar manager, this place out here on the west side in LA. And every time I met up with him, he was just kind of like a fuck buddy. And every time I met up with him, he would just make me get on my knees. And I just would be looking up at his massive stature and would just go to town. And that was like, I don't know, that relationship too, he would always flip me around, and it wasn't a relationship. It was a fling, but he would flip me around. He would, he was very forceful. And again, it was very rough. And I liked when he like would demand me to like do things, cause it felt good. And I felt very in my submissive energy. And so I really just started exploring, you know, that side of me. And, you know, I also wanted to mention, you know, there was a relationship that I did have where he was not tapped into his dominant energy. And that was always a topic of conversation for us, like, as well as this gap between our sexual encounters where he would always get off and I like wouldn't as often. And so I was always like, yeah, you got to eat me out first. Yeah, you got to do this. Or how about we like explore some power dynamics a little bit? And it just like never really happened. And as much as I communicated that, unfortunately, we were never in sync. And so this was another really good lesson for me. That's even as much as you can be so in love with someone and so happy with them, or think you're really happy with them and so in love and see your future together, sometimes sexually you're not in sync. And not to say that you can't work on that. You definitely can. But oftentimes, if this is like an ongoing thing where you've tried, you've worked, you know, maybe you've even gone to therapy, or you've tried to incorporate new things in the bedroom and still it seems like you're not on the same page. That's, unfortunately, it was a lesson for me where I was like, okay, we're just not a match. And again, it's like listening to our intuition. If you've been in a relationship with someone for a really long time and you're consistently communicating what you want and you're not getting that, or you're not able to really find the sweet spot of pleasure, then, you know, maybe you guys aren't just like sexually compatible. But there are definitely things that you can do to like help with that and move through that and spice up the relationship, especially after years and years, where things just shift and change. But I just took that as a good lesson too, where it's like, okay, you can be really compatible in a lot of ways, but it's also good to recognize like what you value, and pleasure is something that I really do value. And so it's something that I definitely want to experience and want to have a good connection and sexual exploration in my life. So then my partner now, he's always chaining me up and we're always exploring power dynamics when we can. Sometimes we go months without it, but just the other day he like chained me up to this board above our bed and had my legs and my arms on with cufflinks, and I was just chained up there and it was amazing. And so that power dynamic, or even the fact that I love asking permission to come, like all of that is just ways that I explore power play in my relationship now. And of course, still like tapping into that submissive energy, or, you know, we've had a lot of threesomes. And so I love tapping into my dominant energy when I'm with women more so. But sometimes I like to like grab this bar and like ride him and tap into my like strong, powerful goddess energy. But power play is something that I really do love. And it's something that I've definitely embraced in my life now and throughout my sexual journey. And now bondage. Okay, so bondage is, again, something I've talked about a lot. I'm grateful to have had a lot of experiences with rope. Yay. Rope exploration has been something I have truly tapped into with people I've dated, people that were, you know, practicing the art of shibari or kimbaku. And so I experienced a lot of like chest harnesses, which were really fun to play with and have sex with, because then they can just like move you and kind of control you in fun ways, which is, again, leaning into those sensations and that tightness and like the restriction and so good. But also, yeah, just the way rope feels on your body can just be very sensational. I love it. I already talked about like the chains, like just using cufflinks to be bonded to the bed, or those four corner bed restraints. Like I dated a guy that was into that, or, you know, we were just kind of fucking, but he had those on his bed. And so, and these are all on my Amazon shop. If you're interested in finding just like simple bed restraints or cufflinks or things, I have linked on my Amazon shop some of these things that you can easily install in your bed. And I did a rope class with a girlfriend, which is where that pretty like rope drawing is from. And then I started exploring doing workshops myself. And then I was like, dude, I could teach some knots. Like I've been on the tying side, and I, you know, practiced tying my friend a lot. And then I taught rope, bondage. I taught like 3 introductory knots at a couple's workshop that I did not long ago. So I've definitely explored again, both sides. And I just love it so much. And so yeah, that is my journey with rope. As you know, it seems like I'm on both sides. I'm definitely a switch. I like to be on both sides of the power play dynamic. I like to be on both sides of the bondage dynamic, doing the rigging and tying, and on the receiving end. And I'm also into voyeurism and exhibitionism. This is something I didn't know that I was into. It kind of makes sense. When I was into mutual masturbation, I was like, I want to watch you, you know. It's like, okay, makes sense that I'm a voyeur. I was in some relationships where we would watch adult content while we were having sex. And so that was something like, I was like, okay, yeah. But again, it's like, everybody loves watching porn. So I was like, am I a voyeur really? But when I really started realizing this was when I started going to play parties, and I was like, oh, like, yeah, what's not to love about watching pleasure happen and unfold and just experiencing it from, you know, a bird's eye view? It's like, oh, it's so incredible. And that's when I was like, okay, voyeurism is something I really do enjoy. But the exhibitionism was a different journey. So when I went to my first kind of play dungeon party, maybe it was my second, actually. I was sleeping with this couple, and we were kind of dating, and they met me there. And I went with this other girl that I had met online, and we all like met there. And that was when I like rode a Sibian for the first time. And it was a lot of fun. But anyways, I was really uncomfortable, like being naked and receiving pleasure, like in front of people. And I think it was also the vibe. Like there was a lot of people around me that were like, I don't know, kind of creepy dudes. And so it was always, it just wasn't like, it wasn't the best atmosphere as well. And it was kind of this weird house that wasn't like super sexy. It just had like mattresses on the floor, and it just, they could have done a better job of lighting. And anyways, it just wasn't, I think, again, like it wasn't ideal. And I think from these lessons that I've already shared, it's like really good to trust your gut and trust your intuition. But that was when I was like, dang, maybe I'm not cut out for this sort of thing. Because the girl of the couple that I was dating, we were on this bed together. And then the other girl that we were with, all 3 of us girls were on this bed together. And she was just like trying to get me to climax. I think I had already gotten her to climax maybe, or maybe we were just like fooling around. I don't really remember it super specifically at this moment. I did write about it though in my journal, which led to me writing a chapter about this in my book, which will be out soon, I hope. Ah, I'm almost there. But anyways, she was going down on me, and I was just like so distracted. I kept like looking around. I kept trying to close my eyes. I kept trying to center my body. I was like, oh, Barbie, get it together. Like, you got this. And I just couldn't get it together. She just was like, it's just me. It's just me. Like, focus on me. And I was like, oh, I just can't. I just can't. I can't. There's too much happening around me. And so that was like, dang, like, okay, I'm definitely not an exhibitionist. But then it was like the next party I went to, I feel like you just have to get kind of like your confidence, or you just have to be in a good vibe. Because then I was like, oh my God, I am getting turned on by the people around me. Like I ended up having this really awesome session with this girl where she fucked me with a strap on, and there were people just like watching us, and I was getting so turned on by the people around us, but I was also so like just so engulfed in our connection and what was happening between us. But it was fun to like finish and then like realize like, oh my God, like everyone's been watching us. Like it makes me feel kind of naughty. And so then I started exploring and like really loving that side of it and like really welcoming people watching. And of course, when I got into like the play party scene, like that was just naturally something that happened all the time. And there were times when, again, I was like, oh, you know, I'd rather have a private moment. And so, you know, I would take a partner upstairs or take a partner in a different room if I wanted to like be a little bit more intimate, which I definitely do lean into. But I think In my relationships now, it's been really fun to explore that too, especially when we have threesomes, which like we have so many threesomes or we've had so many that I love just like sitting back and watching, and I love being watched. And so it's just this dynamic that like feels really good in these group play sessions, which I didn't put group play as like a kink that I was going to share with you guys today, because, but obviously it's one of mine. I think you guys can all attest to that with my experiences. But yeah, in the group play scenarios, like I am super into the voyeurism and the exhibitionism. And also that's why I love my Patreon. Like I love expressing and taking pictures of myself and sharing videos of myself. And I love, like, that's why I love Instagram, you know, like I like people seeing me. I like that. And that's why I'm enjoying this podcast. You know, like I like that I'm inspiring and educating you, but I also like that you enjoy seeing me and that you enjoy my presence. And that's what I love about my Patreon too. Like I like being seen. And so that's something that I love, and it's something that I'm leaning more and more into. And so, yeah, anyways, those are the main ones I wanted to share. There was a time that I was also going to express this voyeurism and exhibitionism kink when I went to a swingers resort, which was in Cancun. And this was years ago. So it was like before my relationship now, but I was just casually dating this guy. And we went for my birthday last minute. And it was so fun. And that too, it was like, oh, this is a great place to explore this kink too, because it was like, oh, there were just all these spaces where you would end up kind of like linking up with people and mingling and then taking them back to the hotel room. And I had a lot of experiences there with this guy that I really liked. And we had a lot of fun just like me watching him with other people or him watching me with other people, or just like the whole fluidity of us being in this space where it was like so open and fun. And so that was another time where I was like, oh, I'm definitely like getting to embrace this kink right now. And it feels so good. So yeah, I think I've tapped into everything that I wanted to share today. Yay. But yeah, this is just my journey to embracing my kinks. So I'm grateful that you guys have always supported me in my vulnerability and sharing my stories, and have welcomed all my guests as well and their experiences. And I just, you know, the point of this channel and this podcast is, as you know, to inspire you and educate you, but it's also to lead you to embrace your true self. So if you're feeling insecure about your kinks, if you're feeling just weird about your specific fetish, it's okay. But I want you to embrace it. I want you to figure out ways to experience it. I want you to communicate with your partner, or, you know, communicate with yourself, write it all out, like write down your fantasies and explore that. And so this is just a reminder for you to embrace your kinks, embrace your erotic authenticity. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I do want to share, you know, I want to share my last sweet release story with you too, which I'm going to try to do at every episode instead of just my guest episodes. So when was the last time I had that sweet release? Well, it was yesterday. My partner and I had sex right here, actually, right here, right there. My vibrator is over on the side of this bed, so that's where I sleep. And so it was with my Hitachi wand. And first it was with my wand and his cock in my mouth, and I came a couple times that way. And then it was like penetrative sex, and I came a couple more times that way with the vibrator still on my clit. I was like, yes, keep the vibrator here for this session. It is so good to me. Thank you, vibrator. I love you so much. But anyways, yeah, that was my last sweet release. So please go out there and get those sweet releases. Welcome them with open arms and open legs, because damn, do they feel good. And they are so good for you. So thanks again for tuning in week after week, y'all. I love you guys so much. Be sweet to yourself. Be sweet to your pussy and your dick. Be sweet, be sweet, be sweet, and welcome those sweet releases and welcome those kinks. Please embrace them. I'll see you next week. Ta-ta.